Well, first of all, my name is Georgia, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And
Hi,
to
Georgia.
qualify, I've been back in program for 9 years, been abstinent for 7 of those years. I haven't had sugar for 7 years.
Yay for you.
Yay. I've lost a little over 75 pounds so far.
Yay.
I keep looking for pictures, and every now and then I find one, and then I stick it aside and I can't find it again, you know, because I want to bring in pictures where I've got my upper weight. I found one the other day and I was shocked. You know, I didn't even recognize myself. So, yeah, I belong here. Let's put it that way. Well, let me start at the beginning. I was raised in a household of people that had both my mom and my dad had survived trauma when they were younger. They were both had alcohol in their families. My dad, his father was a raging alcoholic, and it was so bad that the boys of the family, which there was 10 kids in that family. And they had to finally throw him out after some kind of an incident one night. I don't know what happened, but he used to beat my grandmother up too. I know that now. So my dad, you know, and what I want to say about both my parents is that considering where they came from, they did a bang up job. I mean, they made mistakes. Yeah, I'm here. I wouldn't be here otherwise. They did a really good job on teaching us manners and how to be decent people and all of that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, they also passed along all the neuroses and everything else that goes with all that kind of stuff. I grew up where I think my mom had a borderline personality disorder. There was something really, truly wrong with her. I'd come home from school and I'd be about 6 years old or something, and she'd be sitting on the couch just fuming, really mad. And I didn't know why, but I knew I was going to be in trouble. And I was. There were times when she would accuse me, now figure I'm 6 or 7, of going to all the neighbors and spreading rumors about her. And she was that paranoid, you know. That's kind of, I was afraid of my mom too. She would hit me and pull my hair and you know all that kind of stuff. And her favorite saying throughout my life was, "You'd be perfect if it wasn't for," and then you fill in the blank, because there was many, you know, they I was too fat, I was too short, I was too white, I'm too white. You know, the list goes on and on. You know, that was just a smattering. And my dad, he had a habit of dropping me off places and just leaving me. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was writing some of this down, and I remember he would go, he was a salesman, a traveling salesman, and he would be gone a lot, which I didn't like because I wanted him to be there to protect me from my mom. And so anyway, one time I got to go on a trip with him, and we went somewhere, a different town. This is in Nebraska, and they're kind of podunk towns. And he dropped me off at this place. I think it was like a farm or something, what I can remember. And I don't remember how long he was gone. But, you know, that's where I first saw naked women, because the boys in the family had the magazines, you know? And nothing happened, fortunately. But I think back on it, and I think, a lot of things could have happened. And then a little later on, when I was just about 8 or 9, my parents were going to get a divorce. And my dad took me and dropped me off at my grandma's. And I didn't see either of my parents for, I think, close to a year. I really am not sure. But I have abandonment issues now. You know, I've always had them. You know, trying to tiptoe around people and make sure that they like me, and you know, I'm slowly getting over that. It's about time, right? But it's taken a lifetime of work. to get over this kind of stuff. And I still do freak out every now and then about, people leaving me and that kind of thing. So that's how I grew up. Also I lived with my grandma for that time. And first, okay, finally my dad came back and got me, and we went to California. And I thought it was just a vacation and all that. What I didn't know is he was scouting for jobs and places to live because he wanted to do a geographic. And so he came back. My mom went with us, and I didn't realize that we were moving, and I never saw my grandmother again. There was a bunch of cousins that I never saw again, my aunts and uncles. Everybody lived in Omaha. There was a large family there. Most of them I never saw again. And that was traumatic. And I started eating about the age of 13. My parents started telling me I was fat. I was going through puberty, partly, that was part of it. But my mom got me on different diets. And then finally, she got me on diet pills. And that led to a multi-year addiction to both diet pills and street whites. When I couldn't get diet pills anymore, I got street whites. And it helped, but a lot of times it just made me nervous and made me eat faster. I tried smoking because I thought that would keep me from eating. And same thing, I would just smoke more. I became a chain smoker until the age of 35. And this is when I was 18, 19. I also started using marijuana at that age too. But that was the hippie years, And so I did every diet that I could think of. I did Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem, Schick, OptiFast, and throw in some more in there. I don't even remember all of them. And they all worked for about 10 minutes. I mean, I'd get down to goal weight, and the minute I got to goal weight, it all started again. The whole cycle of going back up and down, and I got so tired of seeing people's faces. When I'd lose weight, they'd be, "Oh gosh, you look great," "Wow, wow, wow," and then the next time they'd see me, I was fat again, and that look on their face. I just got so sick of seeing that. And I had got married, I had a son, and I had a marriage that really wasn't that healthy. I didn't realize it at the time. He drank, and there was no intimacy of the soul. I couldn't talk to him about anything. I just couldn't. And I ended up having a nervous breakdown. Ended up in the hospital, the whole nine yards. They thought I had a French nerve disease, Guillain-Barré, that's what it was, because I couldn't move. I stopped being able to move. And they finally gave me a Minnesota something something test. And the doctor after that came in and said, "Do you realize you're severely depressed?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Have you thought about suicide?" And I said, "Well, I used to imagine if I was in the street and a truck came, I wouldn't move. I just let it run over me." So that led to a couple of years of intense psychotherapy. I had to go several times a week. The doctor wanted to put me in a hospital, and my ex wouldn't let her. And I'm kind of glad because I don't want to be in a psych ward, although I probably should have been. But anyway, I managed. And a lot of times I'd have to drive myself because my husband just had blinders up. He didn't want to see what was going on, And anyway, the psychotherapy plus Prozac got me on a path where I started to care again, because I really didn't care. And I thought, I would like to lose weight. So I started going back to Weight Watchers, and then I kept gaining and losing the same, I don't know if it was 10 pounds or something, but I just couldn't do the program anymore. I could not do it. And I went home and I looked in the yellow pages. This was back in the 80s. and found Overeaters Anonymous, which I'd never heard of before. And I thought, why not? I will try anything because I was desperate. And so I came to Covina Hospital. That's where they were having meetings at that time. And like a lot of people, I heard God, I saw hugging, I saw people holding hands, and I thought, what is this? And I really was thinking about leaving early and not coming back. But out, on my way out, well, I ended up staying for the whole meeting. Two things happened. I heard people talking, and it sounded like my story. I'd never heard people talk like this before. So open. All my relatives, everybody was a closed box. I couldn't talk to anybody about anything, not my in-laws and not my own family. I didn't trust my own family. I really didn't. So I thought, they're telling my story, And then on the way out, I remember there was this thin, I think he was Asian, I'm not sure, not that it matters, but this thin guy. And he told me what he weighed before. It was quite a bit. And I said, well, how do you do this? And he said, well, two things. Three meals a day and nothing in between. That's all you have to do. And keep coming back. And so I did. And I kept coming back for, I'm going to breeze through this, but I came back for 12 years. I was in program. And I had several sponsors. I finally got this one sponsor that said, you have to get off sugar. You can't keep eating sugar. I won't even sponsor you if you do, because you're like a drunk with sugar. And I thought, oh boy, that's my weakness. I didn't want to do it. But something made me do it. And I got off sugar. I was off sugar for 4 years, lost all my weight, got down really thin. All the promises started to come true because I had been taking art classes. I started getting art shows in LA, started selling my work. All of this stuff started happening. And in the midst of this, oh, and I had started going back to school. And because all I had was a high school diploma, and I wanted at least an AA. I really did. I wanted to be better. So I got all that. And right about that time, my husband left. He decided he didn't like who I was becoming and found a barfly to hook up with. And I suddenly found myself in a position where I had no job experience, no, I mean, I worked as a teacher's aide off and on, and that's all I knew, that and art, and you can't live off art. You can't, unless you're, Picasso or somebody. You just can't. And so I went, found jobs teaching art, through different programs and all of that, and that helped. But I was had no money. I mean, we dig in the couch cushions to find gas money or milk money or something. That was my son and I. And I didn't want to, it was two things. I didn't want to waste the money. I didn't want to waste the gas driving to OA. That's what I told myself. And I felt like I didn't have time for it. And I also thought, I got this. I know what to do, And needless to say, I went out and got fatter than I've ever been. I did work through all that. I got my CBEST, I passed. I got went back to school and got my bachelor's degree, got a job. Then I went back to school and got my master's degree and worked for 17 years as an art teacher and was fat and miserable most of the time. All I had was food and my job. That was it. And I couldn't stop eating sugar. And I got to the point where I was buying six giant candy bars at a time. And I'd go from store to store to store so people wouldn't see how many I was buying. And I'd eat them all, And like I said, to be healthy, I washed it down with broccoli. And
Yeah.
so, yeah, I think my highest, well, the highest weight I know of was 213, but I'm sure I got up higher than that. I was miserable. My stomach stuck out. I looked like I was pregnant. Everything hurt. I had fiber. I developed, oh, and I had cancer in that time. I developed fibromyalgia. Yeah, I could hardly move some days, And so I got five left. So that's when I decided to come back to OA. I don't know why it took me so long, but it was like, duh. And when I'd left 20 years before, we had just started meeting in this room. I remembered some of the people, not a lot of them. Most of them are just faces that kind of blur. But I came back to this room and I walked in, and there sat Stan, and that I remember when he came in. And I remember when Daryl came in. And so at seeing these people really made me know I was on the right track. I floundered for about 2 years, couldn't get abstinent. I finally said to somebody, I can't get off, I can't quit eating candy bars. And he said, pray for the willingness to be willing. And I went home and did that, and I never had another candy bar. Now, I was still eating sugar, but I didn't eat those candy bars. And then I came to a meeting, and my old sponsor that made me get off sugar walked in the door to be the speaker that night, and I almost fell over. And I looked at her and I said, can I come home? And she said, of course. And of course, the first thing she did was make me get off all sugar, which was a pain in the butt. But 2 weeks I suffered. And then after that, it's been easy. It really has. I can go to parties, I can go anywhere. And like at Christmas time, my in-laws pile up. I still see my in-laws pile up all the candy and the goodies and everything else. And I can sit at that table and not eat anything and not be bothered, which is a miracle. And like I said, I've lost 75 pounds left. Well, maybe a little over that now. It keeps coming off by increments now. And I turn it over to God. I think about, oh, I'm just not going to eat for a while and get some more of this weight off and blah, 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 blah. And then I remember, no, it's not me. I didn't do any of this. This is God's doing. And I just have to keep coming back. And I love this meeting. I love these people. For the first time in my life, I have friends with an S on the end, and not hostages, by the way. And it's just been very wonderful. And I feel like I've grown up in the last 9 years. Finally, I've grown up. I'm no longer a scared 7-year-old kid. So I have this program to thank for that. I hope that if anybody out there is struggling, remember the one thing you need to do is keep coming back. That's all. So that's it. Thanks. Let's see. Now we will have the treasurer's report and the